Get up here.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening.
Is this on? Is this on?
Yes,
okay. Hope everybody's doing well today. Been pretty warm, hadn't it? Okay. Tonight I'm going to talk about some things. And I want to give you a little something that God dealt with me about. Last winter we were at the house and we had a horse that had punctured his right next to his eye. So we went out and was going to try to doctor this puncture. And he didn't want to let us do it. And so me being an old cowboy, I said, I'll take care of you. So I grabbed his ear, and sometimes you can grab their ear and twist it really hard or bite on it, and they'll let you do anything you want to do. Well, he didn't want to do that. And he jumped up, and he come down right on top of my foot. And stayed there, and I had to push him off. Well, folks, at this time, I lost it. I had to apologize to my wife. I had to apologize to the Lord. I had to ask him to forgive me. I had some things come out of my mouth that shouldn't have been there. And because I was mad and I was hurt, and it took me a little while to get over it, but God used that for me. And so he gave me this message, and I worked on it the whole time we were in Texas, and I had been thinking about it, you know, and because I just knew as soon as we got back, Pastor was going to ask me to preach. So, well, I thought he would. So anyway, so I worked on it. And so tonight I'm going to talk to you about righteousness. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, righteousness is defined as purity of heart, which means rightness or exact conformity to truth. Now, folks, I want you to turn in your Bible to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. A lot of you probably know where I'm going with this. Isaiah 64:6. I want to reiterate this. Righteousness is something we can never, ever obtain on our own. You cannot do it. When you think you can, you're in big trouble. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So our righteousness, your righteousness, anybody on this earth's righteousness, God calls it as filthy rags. All right. Now we're going to look at just one example in the Bible of righteousness and faith, which, by the way, is what it takes in the Bible to have righteousness. You say, I have to have faith. And before we get started on this, I want to ask you a question, and I don't want nobody answering this. I just want you to ponder on this in your heart. Does your faith ever waver? Or do you ever have doubts in your mind? So I just want you to hold on to that thought. Now, we're going to look at the first example of righteousness in the Bible. Go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So it says, after these things, what things? Abram had went and rescued Lot in the previous chapters because he had been captured by invading kings. So Abram went and rescued him back. Now, another thing here in this verse, Abram is who we commonly know as who?
Abraham.
God changes his name in 17:5, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Abram simply means high father. Abraham means father of many nations. Now, we're going to continue reading here in 15:2, and it says, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5, And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So I want to paraphrase that a little bit. Abram goes out. It's got to be at nighttime because he's looking up at the stars. And God says, Abram, how many stars do you see? Well, you can't number the stars. What does God tell him? He says, So shall thy seed be. All right. Now, Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So what justified Abram here in this verse? What justified him?
Belief.
Belief or faith. That's what justified Abram in that verse. Now I want you to hold your hand in Genesis 15 and run over to Galatians chapter 3. We'll be back to Genesis. Go to Galatians chapter 3. And verse 6. And it says, Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So it took faith there for him to be accounted for righteousness. Go to Romans 4:5, another example. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. It says, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. All right, now go back to Genesis. Now, in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 7 through 21, it talks about the sacrifice that Abram makes and the covenant that the Lord made with Abram. And then in chapter 16, it talks about the birth of Ishmael. And then in 16:16, let's read that. Chapter 16, verse 16. And it says, And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bared Ishmael to Abram. How old is he there?
86
years old. That's 80 years old. A score is 20. So he was 86 years old at this point. Now, younger, correct? So I assume maybe he was 85 or so. Okay? That's when God told him that his seed would be as the stars. Now, and let's go to chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed, multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. That's where he changed his name. Verse 6, And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in all their generations. And then in verses 10 through 14, God tells Abraham what he has to do for this covenant. Then in verse 15, God changes Sarah's name. And then in verse, Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now, folks, right here is where Abraham's faith faltered. And he had doubts creep in. Because he laughed at God. He said, How, God, can me being 100 years old? Folks, back in 15:6, he was 85. Now he's 100. No children. He laughs at God in his spirit. Now, I think if I was in his shoes, my faith would falter also. I think I would have some doubt, because that period of time where God told him he was going to give him a seed, a child, and how many it was going to be, and 15 years went by, and he's 100 years old. Now, today, a 100-year-old having a child from a 90-year-old, you just don't hear that. So that was a miracle in itself. Folks, Abraham is probably one of the best examples in the Bible of how God imputed righteousness to him by faith, and his faith faltered. I think doubt was probably there. I know it would have been with me. What does it say in Romans 3:10? I know you know what it is, John. Romans 3:10 says, As it is written, there is how many righteous?
None.
There is none righteous. No, not one. Go to Romans chapter 1. We're through in Genesis. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. Now, verse 17, whose righteousness is it there? Whose righteousness is in verse 17? God's righteousness. And then how do you get that righteousness? That's in verse 16. It says, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that who? That does what?
Believe.
That believeth. So that takes faith. And then in verse 17 it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, way I interpret from faith to faith is from faith at salvation. When you get saved, your faith begins to death. You don't need faith after you're dead. When you die, if you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith is over. You're in heaven. You don't need faith anymore. So that's the way I interpret that from faith to faith. Folks, we as children of God have to live by faith. We have to. What does it say in Hebrews 6? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it takes faith to please him. Now, will your faith ever falter? Will you have doubts? Abraham did. He laughed in God's face. Now, I've heard people say that, no, that wasn't laughing. He had joy in his life. I don't believe that. Faith faltered because of 15 years went by and he hadn't seen nothing happen. He wanted for God to give that blessing to Ishmael. God told him no. The blessing's going to your seed from Sarah. You know, sometimes I get to thinking, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. Always looking for opportunities to witness to somebody, to share my faith. And it's like God says to me, okay, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just back off away from you and just see what you can do. Now, I'm not saying God does that, but sometimes I feel like he does. So he backs away, and what I do, I walk right up to the edge of the cliff and walk right over. Folks, it takes faith in God, and we have to have him in our life. Folks, you're going to stumble. You're going to fail. Our faith will falter at times, and doubt will creep in. Now, who's the author of doubt and confusion? Who? The devil. That's right, Satan. Doubt to the soul is the same as pain is to the body. Just because you have pain in your body, it doesn't mean you're dead. I mean, all of you here, maybe you young ones not, but all you older folks, you have pains, okay? Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is a well-known verse. John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, know, that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This verse tells us two things. It tells us, one, that you can be saved and know it. Now, you might not like this next one, but I believe it. The second thing it tells you, it says you can be saved and doubt it. Why does it say that you can be saved and doubt it? Well, because if you couldn't doubt it, why would John have wrote it? That you may know it. So what is John doing here? He's writing to Christians that might have doubts. It is possible to be saved and have doubts. Doubts are good. I'm not telling you they're good. They're not good. Folks, pain is a signal that there's something wrong in the body. Doubt is a signal that there's something wrong in the spirit. So doubt is to the spirit what pain is to the body. I'm not saying that doubt is good, but it is there at some point in your Christian life. How many of us, after that we were saved, ever had doubts or our faith faltered? Maybe it was about my salvation. There was a time when I had doubts about my salvation, especially in my younger life. Maybe it was doubt about something else. I think that's why John might have wrote this epistle, because there was Christians that he knew of that had doubt in their life. Now, does that happen today? Yes, it does. So, with all this, what do we do as children of God? We need to keep that doubt away. We need to not let our faith falter. And how do we do that? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, right before 1 Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians 3, verse 9. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So in verse 9 it says to put off the old man. And verse 10 is to put on the new man. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not." Now that's talking about prayer. You're not to faint in your prayer life. "But though our outward man perish," this goes away. It perishes. "Yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Folks, it don't matter. That verse pertains to all of us. We are to renew our relationship with the Lord every single day. When you don't do that, you tend to drift away. That's when your faith is going to falter you the most. When you're drifting away, when you're not in God's Word, when you're not doing what God wants you to do, it's easy for that to happen to you. And believe me, all it takes is some pain, serious pain to you. And yes, you'll all turn around and come back to it. But the first thing that pops into, maybe not you, but the first thing that popped into my mind was not good. I mean, it wasn't good at all. Folks, we need to be continually in prayer, in God's Word, in renewing our relationship with Him. It's not my righteousness that justifies me, because my righteousness is as filthy rags. It's His righteousness. It's God's righteousness. When we get saved, He imputes righteousness to us. He takes all our sins and throws them out the window. Amen. Like it says back in 1:17, "For by faith, from faith to faith," in other words, at the beginning of your faith, at salvation, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will carry you all the way to the end. When you die, your faith ends. Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, you can apply this in many ways to your life, each and every one of you. I'm not saying that your faith falters, but you will stumble. You will fall, especially if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, He uses everything that happens to you to better you. Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good, those who love the Lord, those who call according to his purpose. Things work out for your good. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything that happens to you in your life is for your better. He's going to use it to make you a better person, to be a better, obedient child of his. And that's what we all need to do. There's a song here that I start out my morning every morning singing hymns to myself, not out loud. And it is well with my soul. And I sang that this morning, and I couldn't hardly hold it in. He was blessing me from it. And it says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea barrels roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christians hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he takes all your sin and he throws it away, folks. He casts it as far as the east is from the west. I hope this blessed you. I know that God used it to talk to me. I hope he can use it to talk to you. And, you know, if there's anybody here that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not a better time than right now to bow your head, to ask him to come into your heart, and he'll do it. You know, all it takes is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10, 10. 10, 10, and 10, 9. That if thou, that's for John, if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all it takes. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share what you gave to me, Lord. I know it helped me, Lord, at a time when I just felt terrible about my sin, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for forgiving me, Lord, and just showing me how that I could apply this to my life. And, Lord, I just hope that it touched somebody, Lord, and that they can look to Abraham as an example of what he went through, Lord, and how he got imputed of his righteousness and how his faith faltered, Lord. He went 15 years without seeing it, but, Lord, you came through. And, Lord, help us to always look to you that we can take that righteousness that you give us, Lord, and be able to apply it to our lives do the right thing in all that we do, Lord. Lord, we love you. We want to be obedient children to you. So help us, Lord, in all that we do and guide us. We ask all this in your heavenly name. Amen.